Welcome to the podcast. My name is Jamie Knight, and I'm a realtor from Cajun Country, Lafayette, Louisiana. The goal of this podcast is to add massive value by bringing insider access to our area's top agents and to agents around the South. And guys, we're a little bit out of the South with our agent today, who is a guest on our podcast. He's from the New York area. He is a real estate broker, a top producer, and he's done over $2 billion worth of transactions through his team there at Magnetic over in Manhattan, New York. So guys, love to welcome Scott Harris to our podcast. So Scott, welcome, my brother.
Jamie, thank you. I know we're going to get into the Southern connection. So it's not that I'm just this New York guy coming down to try to tell everybody what to do. I know that's not the case.
Yeah, man, absolutely. Well, look, let's start the fun part, right? Let's start where your Louisiana connections came into play, right? You went to high school with Peyton Manning and even played on a high school team with him. So tell us there. Let's go there first, and then we'll get some real estate information from you.
Okay, sure. So I grew up in New Orleans. Born and raised, and went to a private school there called Newman, Isidore Newman High School, well, school K through 12. And my classmate was the oldest Manning brother, Cooper. Now he's kind of all over the place too. Good guy, really funny, wonderful guy. And yeah, our senior year, I was co-captain with Coop and one other guy named Rand. And this sophomore kid who was about 6'2", 6'3", skinny kid named Peyton kind of stepped up, and we had quite a run into the playoffs our senior year. I was a fullback and a linebacker back when chop blocking was legal. There are a lot of 50-year-old guys out there who have bad knees, probably courtesy of me, but I didn't get any shorter than I was. I'm still, I'm under 5'7", but we were like a double-A team in Louisiana. We were still playing across they didn't mess with all the classifications back then. We were 12-2 our senior year. We didn't win state, but we went as far as our school's ever gone. Lots of fun. Yeah, I mean, I learned a lot of lessons about how to play as a team, how to work your tail off, and really to have a clear vision of what you want to achieve. And I carry that with me every day.
Yeah, man. I love the Louisiana connection, man. And how epic is it to say that you played on the same football field as Peyton Manning? That's awesome. Or even Cooper Manning. I mean, he was huge as well. You know, now he got hurt. But yeah, so talk to us a little bit about what you're doing in the real estate world over there in Manhattan, and tell us a little bit about how you got into the real estate business.
Yeah, so I made my way when I graduated high school. I went to college at Penn, University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia. So that was like my move up to the Northeast. And I spent... after college, went straight up to Boston for 6.5 years. And between college and Boston, I was doing a lot of performing. I was not just an athlete, but I was also a singer. And I was touring with a band out of college. And I was also doing the business side of music. So it all came together. I was putting bands on the road. I was working with college kids to produce concerts and really getting like sales chops. And then gotcha. I moved to New York right after 9/11. My family in New Orleans is in real estate. My mom was the marketing director for a Prudential franchise there. And my dad is a commercial landlord. So I had lots of real estate kind of around the kitchen table conversations. My stepmom said to me, because I was like, what am I going to do after music business? I was ready for the next thing. She said, I think you'd be a really good real estate agent. I was like, oh, well, you know, and what ended up happening, people know you better than you know yourself. All the sales skills, all the people skills, everything I'd ever, all the entrepreneurship, everything that I'd ever done before, all came together in this wonderful stack of skills. And I was like the bartender. Everybody wants to pour their heart out to me. I'm a good listener. I ask lots of questions. I shut up and listen. I sort of see connections between people. Oh, this person might help you. All the skills that come in handy as a realtor, just to be the hub. Somebody wants to help. I care. It's not always about real estate. It's like, how can I just help everybody? And that was sort of the platform on which I built my real estate business. In New York, I started in rentals, which you can do because there's so much rental business here. So the first 2 years I did lots of rental transactions. It didn't feel very good. It felt very like a hustle.
Yeah.
And it didn't feel as warm and fuzzy as I wanted it to feel. And when I started getting into sales, I was like, ah, that's the thing. And it just like the light bulb went off, and helping people find homes just unlocked all of this stuff for me. Right out of the gate, it was something I knew I was good at. But once I got into sales, it was like, you know, a whole nother level, and just build and build and build. And 22 years later, I have my own firm, Magnetic, and we've got a number of agents, and, you know, we've sold about $2 billion of real estate. So it's been a really fun run with lots of mistakes, lots of, you know, lots and lots of stuff we can talk. We can go in lots of directions about all the things I've learned by messing up.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Yeah, for sure. Like I'm all about hearing about mistakes, man. I think that realtors look at sometimes every person's or these top agents like level 10 or level 8 or level 9. And it's like, man, like it took a lot of that grind, that heart, that learning how to run a business, man, to be able to like really get you to where you are now. So yeah, maybe speak to like some of the things in the beginning and the challenges that you had that maybe sparked your business and what was important to you in the beginning as well, you know, of building this large business.
Something that really works for anyone who wants to hustle is that you want to say yes as much as you can. I definitely had a chronic problem of the inability to say no, right? I just couldn't say no. So I was just running around, and that's a good recipe for burnout over the long term. But in the short term, you know, you can really learn a lot. And if you work 7 days a week, you know, then you can fit in a bunch of years of experience into each year. So it was a lot of really, really just obsessive attention to email and just saying yes and running around and trying to do, you know, try to fit 10 pounds of poop in a 5-pound bag, as they like to say. I think the mistake happens is when you, as time goes on, you don't know how to say no. And then you just, by the way, it's not just the doing, but it's like people say, oh, you know, they're looking to you for expertise. And so sometimes they say, I want this. And I'm one of these people like, we're going to figure out how to make it happen. But sometimes you have to be a little more discerning and say, actually, let's talk about that. Let's ask some more questions, get clear. Your budget, let's focus on this area. Like, be more of an advisor than just an order taker. And I think that was a mistake early in my career, that I didn't give enough advice. I was just running around taking orders. So yeah. Once I figured that out, I think it was like, you know, hockey stick a little bit, because all of a sudden I had enough confidence to advise, you know, this is what I would recommend. It's ultimately their choice, but like this, you know, giving more advice than anything else, standing your ground and asking questions, but like, and everything delivered with love, right, Jamie? But like, very much giving advice, being an advisor, over communicating, just making sure people know you care, but then delivering news that maybe they don't want to hear, but in a way that can land.
Yeah, absolutely. So what I've heard a little bit about the New York real estate market is it's a little bit different than some other markets, in the sense that you guys are almost looked at a little bit, like you said, like advisors, right? So explain, I guess, to our audience who's in the South, who's maybe doing things a little bit differently, what the kind of role of a realtor in New York is like, because from what I've heard, it's a little bit different maybe than in some other markets.
Well, you got to remember or know that everybody who's come to New York, you know, they're up to something. That's a very hardworking, intense type A clientele who are like captains of industry, people making, you know, really, you know, big money, but also responsible for big businesses. So they want to find people that can handle things for them. There are people that hire lots of people to do lots of different things. So I think there's, in that sense, you have to build a lot of trust, but you're also, you have a lot of leeway to like run things for somebody. So being an advisor, it's not like, oh, I'm setting up an RLS feed or whatever, you know, the MLS feed, so that you just see all the properties that come through. We don't have an MLS. Like, gotcha. You know, so people can go on a website like a Zillow subsidiary and they can look up properties, but I'm curating what I send to every single client, you know, and it requires a little bit more thought process, but it's very much, because in New York, it's not just houses, it's also apartments. And then the way people get approved to buy those apartments sometimes works more like a country club than like a regular purchase. So there's definitely some unique pieces of the process. and we don't act as attorneys. Attorneys are involved in the process. So we can get very specific in advising on value in these very niche kind of situations. Like every building is almost like a market of its own. So it requires us to just bring a lot to the table in terms of, like you said, as being an advisor. It's not just, well, these four houses sold for this, so I think the price is this, or I'm just managing a bidding war because there's not enough inventory. It's a lot more curated. It's a lot more like blue chip. Like sometimes properties don't, the market doesn't appreciate in the same way in New York, but it also doesn't lose value when things go sideways. So it's a really, I don't want to say it's about being so much smarter. There are amazing agents all over the country, but it definitely requires a sophistication to deal with high-end clients, high-touch clients. Even if they're first-time buyers, people can spend $3 or $4 million. I mean, I just came from a meeting where somebody's signing a contract. It's their first purchase. She's 31 years old and buying almost a $3 million two-bedroom apartment.
Gotcha. Interesting. What would you say is probably one of the most important characteristics of a high-end agent, man? Like, what's super important? Like, if an agent's maybe even listening to this and saying, like, hey, I'm interested in handling, like, high-ticket properties, luxury properties, you know, you're doing this every day and night. What would you say is like the most important things to like these clients that are coming to you? And then also I'd like to hear like where and how these people are finding you as well.
Sure. I have a friend who's a wealth manager, wealth advisor, and he manages say $3-5 billion of properties. And I said, you know, what's the secret to your success? And when he said it, I'm like, this is kind of what I'm doing as well. It's the ability to give the same information again and again and again to clients with grace and patience. You know, ultimately people don't hear it the first time. They're busy. They lost an email. They weren't paying attention. They were distracted by a meeting they had coming up. They saw an email and all of a sudden they're like in another world. So it's like just being able to give the same information with grace again and again. I know it seems so simple, but it's, people are very busy. So it's you're not the star of the show, right? As an agent here. You're a facilitator and you have to bring every tool of listening to the table, and like, you're going to get it done. You have to build trust and then trust that the process is going to move forward. And I think that's, you know, more than anything else, it's like, know your stuff, show up, do what you say you're going to do, and like be the captain of the ship. Like, you got to lead this. You got to move this process forward. But it, you know, it ultimately requires you to be really patient with your clients because they're entrusting you, but it's, you know, and then of course, when things are moving at light speed, then you have to be really super responsive. So, I mean, I think those are a few things. And then to answer your question, like, how are people finding me? Over time, you know, you're building a referral network. You know, for me, it was like, you have to be willing to tell everybody, you know, hey, this is what I'm doing, and not be embarrassed. Good agents. I mean, what I've heard, and this is a stat that you can verify, 87% of agents wash out within the first 5 years.
Yeah.
Okay. And if one of those agents is a little bit more fearless, a little bit more shameless, whatever you want to say, to ask for business, and they aren't good, wouldn't you rather you, the good agent out there, like be the person that, you know, who knows they care and who knows they're going to help this person find a good home at a good price? Like, wouldn't you rather be you? So you got to be willing to ask for the business. You're not going to die. If someone says, no, I'm not going to work with you. Okay. Yeah. You know, but I think a lot of it is early on is just asking for business. What I would say also, it's like, just be of service.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you see these emails, like the biggest compliment is a referral. And like, we've all learned that from Million Dollar Agent, which is a great book, but how about just add value?
Yeah.
Like if you called me, Jamie, and you're like, hey dude, like I need a good restaurant. I'm coming to New York. Or like, hey, my kid's got a ballet thing going on in New York for the summer. I'm not making any money from this. Like, I just want to help you.
Yeah.
I know that I'm putting deposits in the bank of the universe and it's all going to come back to me with interest anyway. Like, just do the right thing. Be helpful. Be of service. It works out all the time. I've helped people get jobs. Some kid calls me from New Orleans. Hey, Scott, I'm looking for a job. And I find out that, you know, so-and-so helped him, and like, he's going to remember me forever. It's not, that's not why I'm doing it. I just want to be helpful. But like, that's what you can do early in your career, is just add value with your own network. And then it will start to build your business, because that's how the world works.
Yeah, dude, I love that. I always like calling a realtor when I'm in a new place, right? I always like, just if you don't know anything about the area, right, just call a realtor, right? See somebody's signs all over the place. Just call and be like, hey, man, like, tell me what I need to do over here. And like, it's so awesome. Like, realtors are kind of the key to a lot of different things. Man, I was had some buyers in my car this morning. The guy's like talking about getting a job and all this other stuff. And I'm like, man, what are you interested in doing, man? He's like, I'm, you know, interested in waiting tables. But as we drove through the town, I'm like, hey, that's a great restaurant. You know, here's the type of clientele that is, or here's this restaurant, and that would be a great resource. And just telling him about it. And like you said, I'm not going to get any benefit from helping the guy get a job, but I am going to get a little bit of deposits in that bank account, right? We're here to help people. That's what we're here for. And that's the people who truly, at the end of the day, after 20 years in the business, you've been in it 22, I've been in it 20, probably 21 now, but that's the reason why we continue to have long-term success in this business, because we're not chasing the dollar, we're chasing the relationship. So maybe expand on that as well, because I know we chatted a little bit about that and how you really pursue the relationship with these clients.
Well, I'm interested in people, right? If there were one thing I would do is, you know, as advice, like, be curious. I mean, everybody's got a story to tell. Everybody. You know, I was walking into a building. Here we have doormen, you know, a lot of doormen, concierge. You know, the guy at the desk is called the concierge. The guy at the doorman is called the doorman. And I'm like, how you doing? And he's like, I'm counting the days. I'm like, what do you mean you're counting the days? He's like, I'm just waiting till retirement. I'm like, what does that mean? He's like, how much time you have? I got 17 months left. And I'm like, there's gotta be a story in there, you know? And that was a little bit of a bummer of a story. Cause I'm thinking, gosh, you know, I hope I don't have to, I'm not waiting to retire, but everybody out there has cool stories. Like, they're full of something. They have something to add to the world. And so it's a matter for me, I'm just fascinated by people. You know, how did you make the money that's going to allow you to go buy this $10 million apartment? You know, I've got clients from towns in Louisiana. I'm not going to get into too much details because I don't want to be indiscreet. But like, these are, and I listen to them talk about the businesses they built and how they did it. And I watch the way that they are. It's fascinating. Yeah. And so in terms of building relationships, it's not like I need to be everybody's best friend. By the way, that's a really important thing. But like, if you care, there's always going to be that connection there. And I had a client yesterday told me his family built all of the Mies van der Rohe buildings in Chicago, all the really gorgeous architectural buildings. And he's like, I can't wait to learn more. I've known him for 5 years and he's never told me these stories. So like, people and their lives unfold. And it's like, if you just, it's like a cliche, but like, can you stay present with someone so that you hear things that other people don't hear? All of a sudden you're going to find like people open up to you. And when clients open up to you, you're onto something good. You are going to have more ideas of what kind of properties are going to serve them. You might have ideas if you're working with a seller. Wait a minute, that buyer that I was talking to might love this property. I mean, I've been a matchmaker randomly, like, oh, one guy's looking on one side of Central Park. And I'm like, you know what? This property clear on the other side of town would work for you. And sure enough, it did. So relationship building is mostly is facilitating someone's journey as it goes to real estate. It's like, you just want to be the person that helps people allow it to happen. I'm not, again, I keep going into the woo-woo, but I know it works. So I'll just keep going there. But it's like, how can you hold space for somebody? Because so in so much of life, people can't feel safe. They're like got their guard up. They don't trust, especially in real estate where it's these huge numbers, people making huge investments. It's refreshing to someone to be like, oh, I'm cool here. I'm safe here. Yeah. I can let my hair down. You know, I can say, you know what, Scott, like they can be honest about what they like, what they don't like. And then they can also discover that thing about a home. Like, cause I've written this book. It's coming out in 3 months called The Pursuit of Home. And in it, I argue that there's no free will in real estate. And what I mean is, like, people have no idea why they like what they like.
Yeah.
And I can go on and on, but I'll pause there. And
no, dude, you know, that's so true, right? You know, we as realtors try to understand, like, where they're coming from and what we think that they want. But what's so funny is I've had so many sales happen through these years of hundreds of, you know, whatever, 1,000 sales, however many I've sold. It's crazy. But, like, you know, like, I just think, okay, this is the perfect house for them. And then they end up buying the second one. So I'm always telling realtors, it's like, especially when you're showing properties, be a good question asker rather than give your opinion on things, you know, like, I've been in the situation where I stuck my foot in my mouth so many times and, you know, they ended up buying the one that I had some negative comment to say about, you know, which right. I'm like, why are you even saying that?
All the time. People are like, what do you think? What do you think? And I'm like, let's listen to you. I mean,
tell me what you think.
So often I answer questions with questions.
Yeah.
I don't know what the answer is for you. You know, like I'm going to ask questions so that you figure this out for yourself. Like the person who has the most wisdom in this thing is you, you know, what home works for you is, you know, the answer. We just got to, like, keep you from getting in your own way most of the time. So it can be a little bit of a song and dance to kind of inspire people, distract people. Like I have three kids, you know, when kids crying, you're like, hey, look over that squirrel. And they're like, what? And like, so you have to sometimes shake things up and be provocative in order to keep people from getting sucked into their own patterns.
Yeah.
And it's a joy because, you know, when I'm getting yelled at by a client, which happens, of course, you know, you're on to something because they feel comfortable to yell at you. They're like having it out. And then when they're done, after they close, they're like, thank you so much for putting up with me.
Yeah.
Like, I was not in a good spot. And I'm like, I know, you know, but I didn't take it personally. So yeah. I think it's knowing when to, you have to be like a Buddha sometimes. I don't know how to explain it, but you really have to be that person, that calm center of the storm, you know?
Yeah. Just like a parent, man, you know, like you have to be like, okay, cool. I hear you, man. You're freaking out because your brother stole your toy. You know, it's like, losing their mind, you know, it's crazy. I'm like, literally this morning, I have twin 3-year-old boys and they're absolutely insane, right?
They are
crazy. And I have older kids and like, I hear like a crazy commotion going on upstairs and one of them's just like absolutely losing his mind. And I'm like, what's his problem? And she's like, oh, our daughter closed the door. You know, it's like she closed the door on him, like, and he's out the door, right? He's not in the room with her. So he's like losing his mind. But I'm like, you know, we got clients that are doing the same thing, man. It's like they're just losing their mind. And you know, what I've found is the more and more that we can communicate things on an email, or I use like an app called Dub, which is similar to like BombBomb, and it's a video app. And I'll explain some things sometimes about our inspection period and all these other things. And I'll do it on video and I'll send it to them via email throughout the process. And I've got some different things built in my process. But I feel like what happens is I can go back and check the analytics on those things, on those videos, because I can see when they watched them and how long they watched them. And you'd be surprised at like how many times those videos have been watched at like 11:30 PM, you know, or 1 AM, you know, they're sitting there watching these videos on the process. And it's simple stuff, right? We do this stuff all day because we're realtors. We're in it. We live and we breathe real estate. But these people that are doing real estate, you know, whereas they may be like super successful business guys, like for you, like they're super successful business guys or girls, and right. they're doing big stuff in their business, right? And they can break it down super simple where it would like totally be like speaking German to us. But like, dude, like that's the thing, man. I feel like real estate, even though they may be a high level business guy or girl, it's still like, man, when it comes down to real estate, it's like, they are operating, and I always say it not to be, you know, insulting, but they operate at like a sixth grade level. Like they know enough to get themselves in trouble, but they don't know enough to like really like operate at a high level in real estate.
Right. I mean, I call it sometimes like hold my beer, you know, like they think they know, and then they're like all the way in it. Like, oh shoot, I don't know what I'm doing. You know, and so the role of the agent is sometimes to give enough guardrails, but sometimes you gotta let people figure it out for themselves. But it's one of those things, like, if you were having surgery, you're not going on Reddit to learn how to like hold a scalpel.
Yeah.
You know, you should be spending time trying to find the right doctor who knows how to do this. It's interesting for us. But what I would say also is that people get very focused on the transaction, because it's like, they don't want to deal with the emotions of this, because it's a very stressful thing. It's one of the top five most stressful things people put themselves through. So, I mean, I have a lot of compassion for what people are going through. As much as I'm smiling and we're laughing about it, I know that comes from a good place.
Yeah, man, you got to be for people, man. And I think that's what realtors miss, man. I think a lot of them are focused on the dollar and they're not focused on the people. But when you really shift that focus to the people, man, you really start getting those opportunities, those referrals, and how can you stay in front of people more, I think is my biggest push this last couple of years. Is I'm a referral agent. You know, I would say probably 80 to 90%, and maybe 90% of my business came initially from referral sources, right? From past clients. So talk to us a little bit about what you're doing to stay top of mind with your past clients and building that relationship, continuing to get those referrals. Like, what are you doing with your past clients and how are you serving them? Because I know that's super important for realtors right now to be doing that.
Right. So in terms of staying in front of clients, I mean, we do two newsletters a month.
Nice.
Email newsletters. One is a real estate newsletter where I'm talking about the market, some video, that kind of thing, goes out on email at the first, you know, the first of the month. The second is a lifestyle kind of newsletter. I think the difference, and this has to work for, you know, every agent has to find their own lane. But for me, I write. I mean, I wrote a book. So like, I love writing and I'm writing my own content. Some people, that may not be a good fit. We have clients, you know, pardon me, we have agents on my team who really build their business through their networks on Instagram. They're going around the world posting things and their network's like, you know, how much is that? And they build their business that way. For me, it's a lot of email, text. I call a handful of people every day just to say, hey, I'm thinking about you. This is what's going on. How are things? What's going on? Reconnect. They call it speed of implementation. If I see something, Jamie, and I'm like thinking about, you know, some football thing that happens in Cajun country, I'm like, hey, Jamie might like that, or what's going on with that? I might shoot you, you know, a text or an email. Hey, I was thinking about you. Here's a link to an article. When someone comes to mind, I immediately reach out to them. And I can't tell you how many times someone said, you know, I was just thinking about you, Scott. The universe works in funky ways. So it's a combination of like ongoing with vendors and with like referral sources. I do send like reports. Like, hey, here's our monthly report on absorption. You know, like I'll send out reporting kind of information and be very informational. I have restaurant recommendations, music recommendations in my lifestyle thing, which is really fun. And then, you know, throughout the year, we're sending cards. I'm sending out magnetic hats this summer because we've, you know, we're a newer company. So I'm sending like some, you know, cool baseball caps that people can wear and just to let people know I'm thinking about them. You know, it's all investing in relationship. And again, whatever I can do to be of service to people, you know, they know I'm here to help.
Yeah, man. Old school. I love it, dude. That's been the way that I've generated my business as well. Just talking to people. I like to use social media in reverse, see something that happens on Facebook, Instagram, whatever. And then that's my reason for my reach out or my call. Hey, saw so-and-so graduated high school. Where is he going to college? All those kind of things where you use kind of social media, but to find out something that client is interested in sharing with the world. So then when you give them a call, you're like, it's wide open. They're so happy that somebody called them to ask them about that happening that they're posting on social media. So social media, I always tell agents, like, don't just mindlessly scroll, be intentional and go on to your client's page that you know you need to be contacting, go on their page, find something that happened in the last 6 months. And I even like to joke, hey man, I don't always see everything when I'm supposed to see it, but I saw, you know, a couple months back, you had this happen, man. What's going on with that? How's your mom doing? Is she okay? Whatever it is, you know, it just gives you that way that you can call your past clients and creating a list to stay in front of them for sure. So,
yeah, no, I think these are all, you know, it's all, and you got to find to do it in a way that feels authentic to you, because if it doesn't feel authentic to you, it doesn't work. It doesn't have the right energy.
Yeah, for sure, Scott. So look, man, we're getting kind of tight on time already, man. We blew through 30 minutes already, but I always like to ask all of our podcast guests, man, to speak to a realtor who may have had a tough 2024. We know there's a lot of realtors in the market. Maybe they're off to a little bit of a slow start in 2025. What would you tell that realtor who's struggling right now? And then we'll close it out.
Okay. I have this call with my agents all the time. It's the end of the, I want you to fast forward, take a time travel into the future. You know, it could be the end of this year. It can be a year from now. And, you know, you're sitting, let's say at the end of the year, you're having your favorite beverage, you're celebrating the success that you've had this year. And you just feel that feeling of the wish fulfilled that you've had this amazing year. And, you know, what does it feel like? How much business did you close? You know, really like paint a really big picture of all the things that you've done. And then think about what are a few steps you can do right now to move your business in the direction of that vision. Okay, that's one piece. But the other piece is like, okay, it's June 30th. It's July, whatever it is that we're recording this. You can take a look at what you did for that last quarter, say, and be like, okay, what did I do right? What did I do? You know, what didn't work? Recalibrate, refresh, start over. All you have is today. So like, it didn't work. That advertising thing didn't work. That mailer didn't turn into anything. Like, you have to be able to just chalk it up. You know, that guy who's playing tennis, you know, Alcaraz lost, you know, the Wimbledon, right? Like, he lost. Okay, on to the next. You know, it's, you got to be able to take your, if you can't carry the loss around forever. So fine. So you had a bad quarter. Okay. Everybody has a bad quarter sometimes. It happens. So I would say focus on the things you can do today, which are get yourself fired up, make some inspired phone calls, care about people, figure out how you can help them, and make, you know, just take some action. That will shake you out of whatever's going on, and just do that day in and day out. Set some goals for yourself, measure them, make sure you're doing it. Have an accountability person in your life, you know, an agent, a fellow agent, somebody that you both want to be successful. I mean, there's so many different things, but I think just take action today and like put whatever happened behind you and say, all right, that's what happened, you know, because it's not going to serve you to dwell on the past.
Yeah, man. I love that, dude. Yeah. Put it behind you. Move forward, man. So yeah, absolutely. Scott, I really appreciate you joining us on the podcast, man. I will definitely post the link to the book and everything once that's launched. Even if it's much later, I'll definitely, you know, get back with me and we'll put that information so that people can go check out your book, man, for sure. So you got some great insight on the real estate business and have done a ton of transactions. And I love your vibe. It's so inspiring to have, you know, somebody in a completely different part of the country have the same mindset that I do as far as my business and growing it. And really the best way to grow a real estate business is just loving on people, caring for people, doing everything you possibly can to be a resource for them, to build those connections with them, and just keep in touch with people and love on people, man. Like, that is the best way to do real estate. And here I am in South Louisiana, and there you are in, you know, New York City doing the same exact thing, man. So I really value your opinion, and I appreciate your time, and glad that we could kind of lay this down, man, and really share some tangible tips for realtors, man. So Scott, thanks again, my brother.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man. All right, guys. Well, look, we share all brand new episodes on audio at 5 a.m. on Spotify and all of your major audio podcast platforms. And we are putting these episodes up on YouTube now on our YouTube channel. So go follow us at Real South Agents. We're going to put some of Scott's information in the details of the podcast, so you go follow Scott as well. So guys, we really appreciate you tuning in every week, and I hope that you have an amazing day.